Come and join the gathering on Equilarium FM for inspired conversation and guidance to lighten and brighten your day. Claire Johnson has gatherings around her kitchen table with a group of interesting and vibrant guests who are professionals from all fields of the healing arts. Real people integrating spirituality into everyday reality. Laughter and joy are two of the main dishes served at her table. And now, here is your host, Claire Johnson, raising vibrations across the nations, inspiring you to become all that you can be.
Hello, hello, and welcome to this week's show. This week's show is called Yoga and the Mind-Body-Spirit Connection. So, around my table, I will be discussing the mind-body-spirit connection and the incredible benefits of practicing yoga with my dear friend, Jo Manuel, founder of the Special Yoga Foundation. Jo is a truly remarkable woman, an amazingly compassionate and caring person. She's an incredible teacher, a gifted healer, and a powerful inspiration to myself and many, many people. She'll be sharing her wisdom and experiences with us with yoga and meditation on her personal path to enlightenment, which led her to create her very special yoga center for helping parents and children with special needs. So, welcome, Jo Manuel.
Thank you, Claire. Wow. Slightly overwhelming introduction.
No, it's not. I mean, every single word of it. I mean, we've known each other for many years, and it's true. You've always been a major inspiration to me.
Thank you.
You are, as I said, someone who truly walks your talk. And as we were just discussing before we've come on air, the power and importance of that, and that as you get older, it comes more easily, that you just become more comfortable with it, don't you?
Yes, I think you do. I mean, certainly in my own experience, you know, you as you journey through life, if you really meet the challenges and you know, really greet them as blessings, however challenging they may feel at any given moment in time, you learn and you grow, and you kind of drop your guards and you become more comfortable to sit in your vulnerability, you know, and with who you really truly are anyway. I mean, not that we are our vulnerability, but, you know, I think it takes us closer to our essence.
I think it does, and I think you've always been a guiding light for me in that sense, because as you say, we all go through difficult times, difficult experiences, a whole, you know, full gamut of emotions. And yet you've always taught me that that none of it is wrong, that you actually have to hold it and embrace it and work through it, and that you'll find the gold of the teaching that's within it. And it takes a lot of courage to do that. And to me, you have always been that. You've been very, very courageous. And so I've learned from you. Learn from one of the greats. Yeah, but you have. And you've done it with this very strong divine feminine power. As I said, you are so compassionate, and you're such an amazing healer and teacher that, it's an absolute honour to have you on. And I'd love you to share some of your journey with my listeners.
Well, I'd be happy to share any piece of it, really.
Okay.
Do you want to sort of guide where you want me to start?
Yeah. Well, if we talk a bit about the mind-body-spirit connection, like we're saying, and how they're all so intrinsically linked, and that maybe start with how you first came into yoga. That's probably an idea.
Well, I stepped into my first yoga class 41 years ago. In the times when yoga wasn't popular, where it was still something slightly quirky, something slightly alien, slightly weird for most people, actually. And I have such a strong, strong memory of it. And I'd come from quite a challenged, emotionally challenged background. And I'd always believed that I would be given stepping stones through my life to heal the ancestral abuse that had, I had equally experienced. And that I was also born under a lucky star, strangely enough. And when I stepped into that first class, it was like one of those beautiful aha moments where I actually have no recollection whatsoever of the physical practice, but I have such a strong sensory memory of the smells, everybody dressed in white, the bells, the chanting. And I just thought to myself, whoa, this is where I want to be. This is what's going to take me on my path of healing. And that was my first that was my first experience of yoga. And I left that class. I went to talk to the characters dressed in white, you know, to say, you know, I'm blown away. And they said, you know, this like slightly, you know, bedraggled 17-year-old with the Bhagavad Gita, which I went home and devoured. And I thought, wow, you know, this is an extraordinary piece about how we have our internal battles and our external battles. And, you know, how do we meet it and what's right and what's wrong? And I actually don't believe there's right or wrong now today anyway. But, you know, and how I received it then is probably very different to how I receive the Bhagavad Gita now. But it was a very profound moment for me in my life. And then the journey took me a little further when I moved a couple of years later to New York, and I went past a neon sign that said yoga. And I stepped inside, and there was the most beautiful teacher there, Dharma Mitra, who really for me embodied something very profound. To the extent that actually we both taken stray dogs, and I tried to time my dog walk so I could stand next to him, you know, energy so much. But in the practice of yoga, although it was a very strong practice, physical practice, it was very devotional, and you know, it was about using your body. What I picked up from him most was about how you use your body as a vehicle for prayer. And there was something so, you know, fundamentally beautiful about that, because the whole spiritual piece was where it started. And then as I come into the physical piece of practice, it was about prayer. And I thought, I can go there, you know.
Yeah, lovely.
And how you use your body and how it serves you and how it doesn't serve you. And, you know, where do we get stuck and how do we unstick and, you know, all of those things, really. Which I think is one of the beautiful pieces of what yoga gives us.
Oh, I completely agree. Because it's not like going to the gym and just working your body for the sake of working your muscles. It's such a different experience.
For me, it certainly is. And I think the more mindfully one practices, and certainly my practice over the years has changed as I, you know, come up to nearer to 60, you know, my body has changed in terms of, you know, not so much what it can do, but it needs a different level of nourishing these days, you know, in order to support the energy levels that I like to keep in terms of the amount I like to serve and I like to do. So I have to look after it differently than I had to 20 years ago, you know, or 30 years ago even, you know.
Yeah.
Or even 10 years ago, actually. So my practice has changed, and I'm very conscious of, you know, being, I tend to practice slower these days. I'm much more mindful. I kind of explore where I'm holding, you know, how I move through it. Sometimes I meet pieces I don't like, which one would naturally move on through. And sometimes I move on through because I don't want to go there. And sometimes I sit there with it, but it's always with compassion. And I think a lot of the Buddhist practices and meditation that I had the blessing to do taught me to go and meet my heart. You know, it's like rocking like a baby. How are you today, my dear? You know, where are you? How do you hold those bruised pieces that we all have?
Yeah.
That manifest in different parts of our body at different times as well.
Yeah, because they are also connected. And I think, you know, people that aren't familiar with yoga and the spirituality of it may just see it as another form of exercise. But as you're saying, it's the most incredible, powerful tool to help you move, you know, through different emotional pains and blocks and damage to get you to a point of reconnection. So it is, you know, such a powerful tool for the mind-body-spirit connection, isn't it, rather than just...
Absolutely. And it's not just movement as well. It's about how you breathe. You know?
Yeah.
And of course, the breath and the emotions are completely connected anyway, because your emotions affect your breath and your breath affects your emotions.
Mm. You know? Exactly. Yeah. I mean, everyone can be aware of that when, you know, you have high anxiety and then you shallow breathe. And this is what we were saying earlier on, weren't we, that you can adopt shallow breathing as a form of a coping mechanism. But as you said, it's a disabling mechanism completely.
I think so.
Yeah.
I mean, the more we put our shields up, whether they're through our body or through, you know, the kind of protection shields that we put around our hearts, you know, because we're scared of being hurt, or whether they're how we breathe, or, you know, or however we, you know, we shield ourselves, it never serve us.
No.
Stop you from being real and true and really here. You know, we're only given one chance in this body, in this life, so why waste it?
Well, absolutely. But I think this is the wisdom, I think, that comes with getting older. I think when you're younger, you think you can put on brave faces. You think you can put on different shields and different stories about yourself to hide your vulnerability. Yeah. And I think as you you know, you get more mature, you understand that your vulnerability just is a core part of who you are, and you learn to be more comfortable with it.
Yeah, absolutely. I also think a lot of people are taught, you know, sort of, you know, button up and, you know, just get on with it and, you know, all of that stuff.
Pull yourself together.
All that, you know, language, it just like makes me shudder, actually, because I just think it's so unhelpful.
Yeah. Because then, yeah, you lock things in that it's much harder to then access, because you think, I don't know why I'm so angry. You think, no, if you dare to go in and find out where you're hurting, you can find out why you're angry. But people don't want to feel the pain, so they tend not to do the journey inwards and just outwardly lash out at other people, yeah, situations, and blame things in life rather than daring to go in and feel the pain of whatever it is.
Yeah, and usually when we come away from the story anyway and we sit in the pain transmutes.
That's, yes.
You know, it's when we stay in the story, so, you know, you have an emotional response, and then what the mind does is the mind goes to this, you know, creates a story as to why you feel like you feel. And actually what that does is it takes you away from the experience of it, of the pain.
Yeah.
And it just keeps you in the drama. It just keeps the drama going. And I don't think you heal that way. I think you have to come away from the story and just go, okay, so this is uncomfortable and the story is the story. And, you know, can I just meet this discomfort? And, you know, what does the discomfort feel like? And where is it? And, you know, it's usually in your heart anyway, somewhere. And, you know, can I just sit with my heart? Can I hold my heart like a baby if you need being held like a baby today? And, you know. Mm.
But it is interesting when you do yoga that you find that there are certain parts in your body where you hold tightness, where you hold pain and things, so yeah, you know, which is surprising, aren't they? You do, some movements are fine, and then you suddenly get to a point and think, "Oh, actually, that's got a lot to say." There's a part of your body which is holding something, a part of your own story that you just need to, don't even ask what the story is, but to allow it to release.
Yeah. You know, so, absolutely. And I think also, you know, through your body over the years, it changes. You know,
yes.
So there are certain times when your hips feel really open, and then all of a sudden they're not so open.
Yeah.
And,
yeah,
you know, your chest is looser, and all of a sudden, okay.
It's true. So, after the break, we'll come back and we'll talk more about that. Mm-hmm. So, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Free your mind with Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
What if living didn't have to be so serious?
What if you could move beyond your problems with greater confidence and ease than you've ever imagined?
Throw your labels out the window and join the Irreverent Therapist for practical tips and a very different way of approaching the changes you would like to create.
Marilyn Bradford
and Pam Hodling
have empowered hundreds of people to come out of self-judgment, quit looking to experts, and begin to create the lives they desire.
Join us Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern on the Irreverent Therapist Show.
Memoirs of the Bright Side of the Moon. A true story of love beckons you to remember the bright side. You will enter and discover another side of the Pink Floyd and share the return journey of an artist born to help humanity through creating beauty. Written by Ginger Gilmore. Available at angelscript.com today. Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at ascendinghearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
Welcome to the gathering around my kitchen table on Equilarium FM, Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Join my guests as we integrate spirituality into everyday reality with vibrant conversations, inspired interviews, and my latest channeled guidance to inspire and brighten your day. I'm Claire Johnson, and together we'll be raising vibrations across the nations.
Feed your soul with Waves of Consciousness on Om Times Radio.
So, welcome back. Before the break, we were talking with Joe Manuel about your lovely, your wisdom experiences with yoga. So So would you like to tell us, Jo, a bit more about your path to enlightenment?
Path to enlightenment? I'm hardly informed.
Because you were saying before that you got into meditation.
Yeah, I mean, it was part of the practice from, 40 years ago, really. And it's taken me on many journeys, the whole process of meditation. And there have been times when I've meditated, incredibly regularly, and there have been times when I've struggled to sit. But I know that I think it's also taken different practices and different forms. And what I find is that what I need seems to appear in front of me at any given moment in time. And there are meditations where you just follow your breath and you sit in silence, and in that silence you meet yourself, and sometimes it's very tricky, and then the mind plays all sorts of tricks and you want to go running in the opposite direction. And then there are moments where you can where you could meditate on compassion or what that means for you, or different qualities that you want to engender in yourself. And I just think there are different practices that I've used over many years that seem to appear in front of me when I need them.
Yeah, fantastic. So it's about being open, isn't it, to the master appears when you need.
Always.
When you need the teaching.
Yeah, and I feel very blessed. I mean, when I get myself stuck in places, and we all do that. My prayer is nothing more than help guide me, and it's always been help guide me. Help guide me to understand why I've got stuck. Help guide me to understand where I'm struggling. Or actually, I don't struggle anymore. I choose not to. But where challenges come up and you don't really understand why they're there, or relationships get tricky and you wonder what that person has been brought to you to to learn, what's the reason for these situations or this person or whatever. Because I truly believe that everybody that crosses our paths, that we have any form of relationship with, is there to help us and to teach us, to take us on our journey. And I think ultimately our journey is about getting closer to God and cleaning our what they call in yoga, our samskaras, the bits of the path that have got stuck from our ancestral lines, from our past lives, from this life, from all the sort of different experiences that our soul will have had.
Yeah, I agree. And this, we've been going through a lot of release and cleansing, haven't we, as a global energetic.
I think we're in an emotional washing machine.
Yeah. I think
sometimes the cycle is very fast.
Double spin. There does seem to be a lot of emotional clearing, cleansing, and it can be confusion. But I think it was really interesting that you said that you now choose not to see it as, what did you say, being stuck? You choose not to
struggle.
Pardon?
I choose not to struggle.
Choose not to struggle. That's it. So it's as simple as that. We have choice. And I think one of the things I learned when I was in India many, many years ago was that they live by the adage, which was, there is no problem unless you make a problem. Mm. And in the West, we haven't got anything as simple as that in our teachings to make you understand that you have the power to choose how you're responding to reality at any given moment. That, it's not something that happens to you. You have a choice of how you respond to whatever is happening at any given moment. So it's a very
often you don't feel like you do.
You don't feel like you do,
and that's where it's it can be so difficult. And the starting point of the Yoga Sutras is about stilling the currents of the mind, or the wild horses of the mind, depending on what translation you read. It's all the same thing anyway, and it's not always easy to do, because sometimes we get caught in those thoughts.
Yeah, and then we believe all of them, as you say.
Yeah, and then it's about becoming the master of your mind. And even if your mind is still rampaging, you are not. Then it's also back down to another piece, which is, who are we? Are you your mind? Are you this body? Are you a soul that happens to have this body as the house of your soul in this life? And the mind comes along with that, Or are you your mind and your body? Because if you think you're your mind and your body, you're never going to get away from your thoughts.
No, it's true. Yeah. Yeah, and then you're often, you know, you're going to be perpetually looking for something deeper in life than the fact that you're just your mind and your body. I mean, there's quite a few people out there who actually are not aware of that, I don't think, and that are looking, they just look to their bodies all the time as justification and a sort of who they are, identification of who they are. And that way only becomes insecurity and unhappiness, I think, because, you know, we're all so much more than just your body, just your mind. We're all part of it, aren't we? Mind, body, soul, intrinsically linked to create your whole.
Absolutely. And I think that's one of the beauties of yoga, actually, because I think that, you know, yoga helps you to you know, acknowledge and take care of the magnificent vehicle that we've been given in our bodies, and the magnificent vehicle that we've been given in our minds. And we can use our minds usefully or we can use our minds not usefully. And again, as you said, that's very much a choice. And sometimes we don't feel it's a choice. And sometimes our energy doesn't allow us to use our minds as well as we know we could. So we get stuck. Yeah. And then yoga is a very good practice to help rebalance the energies so that you can come back into a more still place where you have a feeling of more control over your mind, or you are actually able to disassociate yourself from your mind, or just observe your mind rather than it, you know, your mind taking over.
Yeah. Well, and that's really important to have techniques to be able to do that, because sometimes you can be like knocked off your center, and then, as you say, you get caught up in the whole swirling story of what your head is saying, and it's very hard to re-find your heart and your center because your head's full of just some story or whatever. And it's not always easy to get yourself out of a downward spiral when you're hooked into that. And yet, you know, yoga, as you say, stilling your body, stilling your mind, and then putting back some constructive, considered mindful movement, as you say, starts to get the power back to you rather than, as you say, the rampaging horses, wild stallions that are raging through your head. But
I also think there's a whole other piece which is about surrender.
You know, yes.
Because I also think we walk through life thinking that we have control over everything. And actually, I truly believe we have control over nothing. And I think that's where struggle comes, because, you know, things don't go the way we want them to go or the way you think they're going to go.
You're right. It's about preconceived ideas, about expectations, but not too many expectations, and then being disappointed when they don't happen.
Yeah.
But if you don't hold them, if you hold a state of excited anticipation of something wonderful to happen, but without trying to project what you think it should be, it's because you can't control that. You know, I remember very simply the night before my driving test, my dad coming in, and I was sitting up in bed reading the highway code back in the days, like you did, because you had to do it, you know, at the same time. And he came and said, go to sleep now. And I said, no, I've got to read more of this. He said, there's absolutely no point. He said, I can tell you right now, you're either going to pass or fail tomorrow. And he said, reading that book's not going to help you at all. He said, but getting a good night's sleep so that you have your wits about you and that you're well rested will serve you better than anything you can do right now.
How wise is that?
I know. And it's just like,
lovely.
Okay. So it just takes away that, because you can't force it that night. You can just actually be best prepared to do it the next day. And that is like that, isn't it? Because there are so many times when you think you can control things in your head, and yet you can't control what other people are going to think, what they're going to say, how they're going to react. The only thing you can control, actually, is what you put out. You can't.
And also how you respond.
Yeah, you can. Yeah, I was just going to say.
You can't stop anybody else from behaving in any way that they're going to behave. But we do have a choice about how we respond to that.
Exactly.
You can respond with compassion and acceptance, and you can respond with anger, and you can respond in another way, which says, okay, I don't really like what I'm hearing, but you've been brought to me, and how can I use my response to this and my discomfort in how you're behaving as a learning for me?
Yes.
You know, where do I meet you? In me, not in you. Because my story is my story, you know, and you're helping me on my story. And thank you. You know.
Because frankly, I don't like your story.
Yeah, but thank you for it.
Thank you for your story.
It's reflecting something back to me that I need to look at too.
Yeah, it's true. It is. It's that whole interaction and responsibility always. Of, as you say, it's not a relationship on one side. It's always a two-way thing. And, you know, you have choice to react to things and not react to things. And that's the whole sort of like, you know, Jesus said, turn the other cheek. But it's the same. You can rise to someone's challenge, or you can just let it go and be the bigger person. So you do have choice. Mm-hmm. Even at times, as you say, if things get right under your skin and you think, oh, my God, I've really got to go wild about this. You think, do I have to? I do have choice. Mm-hmm. You just have to sort of reel yourself back in and have a considered reaction rather than an automatic reaction. I mean, if someone bumps into you, you know, in a shop, you can turn around and push them right back because they pushed you. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if you can take a few seconds to do a considered response, you can see that someone fell into them or something fell off a shelf and they didn't mean to push you. So, but it's about giving that time, doesn't it?
Sometimes it takes a bit of time just to acknowledge it. And also I think it's about, you know, just we're all doing our best. You know,
yeah.
And you may not be doing what I want you to do, but you're still doing your best. And it, you know, and where do I meet that?
Yeah.
Where are my expectations? You know,
you don't know the pressures that are on other people.
You never know anything else. And if you really walk through life really believing, as I do, that everybody's actually just doing the best they can, in the same way I'm doing the best I can,
yeah.
I can't control how you might respond to me, you know, any more than, you know, you can't control how I might respond to you. That's my responsibility.
Yeah, exactly. As you say, at least if you think people are going through the life, and if they're being very angry, maybe that's the best they can do at that moment, you know.
Yeah, and that's fine. And I've just learned to surrender to God, really, more and more and more and more, and go, okay, so take me, I'm yours, just let me, you know, just guide me on my path and
yeah.
Show me what I need to learn and let me be of service and let me do what I have to do and, you know, and I'm sure you'll bring me more challenges. And actually, you know, I've noticed over the period of my life, you know, the greater the challenge, the greater the gift.
Absolutely. I mean, I got a wonderful piece of writing once which said, be aware of all the lessons you've still yet to learn, for when you've learned all you've come to learn, it's time for you to go. So be grateful for them all. Stay here longer. Learn more.
Absolutely.
So thank you. After the break, talk more.
Your conscious connection to a more mindful world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Have you been searching for a perspective beyond the mainstream? Check it out. Join your hosts, Yelito Pascual and Diana Gold Holland, on Share International Radio for thought-provoking views behind the news. Sundays at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio. You can also find us at shareontheairradio.org. This may be the message of hope you've been waiting for.
Memoirs of the Bright Side of the Moon. A true story of love beckons you to remember the bright side. You will enter and discover another side of the Pink Floyd and share the return journey of an artist born to help humanity through creating beauty. Written by Ginger Gilmore. Available at angelscript.com today. What if business could be fun? What if business is the adventure of living? What are you choosing? Where do you do business that makes it easier, more fun, or more joyful for you? We'd love to see where you do business. Connect with us on Instagram at Joy of Business or Twitter at Joy of Business and share your pictures with hashtags Business Done Where and Joy of Business. Let's change the world with business.
Welcome to the gathering around my kitchen table on Equilarium FM, Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Join my guests as we integrate spirituality into everyday reality with vibrant conversations, inspired interviews, and my latest channeled guidance to inspire and brighten your day. I'm Claire Johnson, and together we'll be raising vibrations across the nations.
Free your mind. Expand your soul. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
So, welcome back. Before the break, we were talking about actually the power of just giving up to God. I think that was such a good way you said that, Joe. Just surrender. I think surrender is a great thing. And so right now I'm going to share with you what's happened to me recently, which is last Thursday, so the day after the show, I'd gone to something and was in a very good space and I was having a lovely time. And then it was Thursday night and it was very cold here in the UK, deep and frosty. And I'd been out somewhere with a really good girlfriend, and just as I got out of the car and said goodbye to her, I shut the door and completely shut my thumb of my right hand in her car door. Mm. And it was just like, oh my God. It's bad enough when you have an accident, but when it's something you've done to yourself, it feels really, really awful. I don't know. It just knocked me for six. I decided to pretend it hadn't happened. So I've done a lot of arnica and healing on it, and it's mending well, but actually I've really, really seriously injured my thumb. So then last night I did this piece of writing, which I think would be very appropriate to share right now. So that's what my injury is. So if you'd like to close your eyes, if you possibly can, if you're not driving, sit there and just see how these words settle. It is of paramount importance that you do not lose sight of your goals, that you do not let your energy wane and your self-belief dwindle, dissipate, or disappear. Do not let fear replace courage. Do not let procrastination replace determination and progress. You have been somewhat knocked off course by a powerful force that has given you a sense of disorientation, resulting in frustration, for you appear to have lost your way. 'Tis not true, 'tis a false illusion, creating confusion and disillusion. Take comfort in the fact it is only a negative attack that can easily be surpassed, the effects of which will only be very short term and will not create lasting damage or loss of time and pace. Take a moment to breathe deeply, to relax completely, and release all the negativity, pain, and angst you have been presently holding. There are forces around at all times that can enhance or disrupt your flow. 'Tis up to you to bend and sway, or stand firm and stay, whichever position you feel will benefit you most. To have been disabled by injury requires a time of recovery. Give yourself this space to recalibrate and revive, to rebalance your own energy and equilibrium, to rest and adjust to the situation, and be patient with yourself. But above all else, stay strong in your head and strongly in your heart, for you are on the right path and all will be well and good. Disruptions may occur on any journey, but that does not mean you'll change your final destination. You are most definitely going places that are wonderful and filled with excitement, abundance, and great joy. Be patient and release all responsibility for making things happen or occur. Trust that all is well and all will be good, that all is still unfolding exactly as it should. There are always some lessons to learn, and possibly detours to be taken. But it is all about the journey and not only the final destination. Go with the flow, even if it is not as fast or as furious as it has been, or as you would like. It is still moving and the pace will quicken when the time is right. Do not lose sight of all that makes your heart sing and the bells ring in heaven on high. Rest is best to restore your joie de vivre, for it is your most natural state of being when you are in balance and harmony. Sleep well, eat well, and spend precious time with your friends and family, and focus on yourself. Your health is your greatest wealth, and your well-being is your greatest gift to the world and all those around you. For when you are happy and smiling, the world is a happier place. Draw unto your core all the love and healing that you are needing. Then you can continue proceeding with much love, lightness, and success. Ding! And there you go.
Beautiful, beautiful.
So it seems so appropriate to what you're saying about surrender. You know, and there are times when you do have to surrender, when you try and you force life in your head. You want to carry on with doing things, but there are times when your body tells you that's not what you should be doing, you know, and to at those moments, like say, surrender. Just go, okay, you know.
Absolutely.
Guide me. What am I supposed to be doing at these moments instead of always allowing your head to think you know what you should be doing at all times? We don't.
I don't think we know anything, really.
We know nothing.
We know nothing. And the more I live in the place of I know nothing, the more beautiful the gifts are.
Well, exactly. That's it. I think the surrendering is thinking that we know everything, thinking that we actually even know anything, as you say, thinking we have a clue of what we're doing. But that brings me to the fact that you started and opened your most beautiful special yoga center, and you created the Special Yoga Foundation, which I know has the mission of the Special Yoga Foundation is to reach as many children with special needs as possible, because you created this special yoga for helping parents and children with special needs. So how did you come about that? How did you arrive at that as your?
I don't really know. I mean, I was teaching, you know, sharing yoga, and there were disabled people arriving in my classes very early. I remember my second class, a blind man and his dog showed up. I kind of had to change things straight away, and I'd never worked with a blind person before, and I'd certainly never worked with a dog in the room before. And then the next class, an adult with a cerebral palsy showed up. I thought, interesting. I hadn't, you know, it wasn't a condition I was particularly familiar with, and I wasn't particularly, you know, wasn't experienced as a yoga teacher. I'd been practicing for a long time, and then a teacher came up, you know, came in and said, you know, I think we need you in our school. And I, you know, went into the school and I saw all these kids who reminded me of me, you know, kind of chewing the end of their pencils, looking around the room, you know, not being able to settle, not feeling okay. Okay, so I know that. I know who you are.
Yeah.
So, you know, it became a kind of process of evolution. And then I was introduced to the work of, in 2001, I was introduced to the work of Sonia Sumar, who created a program called Yoga for the Special Child. And I had the blessing of working with her for 12 years and teaching her work and sharing her work. And then we moved on, we parted ways and we moved on. And, you know, I took a lot from her because she really embodied love and it brought a lot of the pieces of the yoga practice together. And I really saw how powerful you know, that greater connection is. And, you know, so from that experience and from the children who really taught me along the way, we now have the Special Yoga Foundation where we use a practice called yoga, special yoga, for special children, which we adapt according to each individual child. And we have varying other elements beyond just the classical yoga that we've brought in. So we work with sound healing from many different dimensions, from rhythm to frequency to tone to using it as a mechanism to help children who find breathing difficult. And we use different forms of touch and including Chinese acupressure and some basic reflexology and sensory integration and, you know, just very varying elements that as I've watched the children and seen what they need, we bring in so that we have different tools to access each individual child with. So I've had the blessing to go and work internationally as well as here. and I have a program running in the largest orphanage in Russia for children with special needs. Wow. You know, where they're still tying the children up, actually.
Oh, you're joking.
When I was there last time, the deputies came in and, you know, gave me some of the more challenged children who they were still tying up because they're self-harming and harming others. And I just showed them different tools to calm their nervous systems down so that the children didn't have to be tied up anymore. And some of them are now untied. I don't think all of them are, but some of them certainly are. And I'm going back again this year, later this year, to go and assist further. But the doctors were blown away by the fact that it was possible, you know. So all of a sudden you sort of start to change the culture and they're looking at me going, who are you and how old are you? And, you know, where did you come from? Like, I'm some kind of weird alien, you know. And then they wanted to follow me and be my best friend. And I had no language with them, by the way. I don't speak the word Russian. So it was a very amazing experience. And then I was in Sri Lanka recently, working in some orphanages for blind children, deaf children, and a special needs school. And I'm going to India in a few days to go and do some work in some centres in very different parts of India and, you know, varying other countries later this year. And, you know, it's such an unbelievable privilege when you start to work in countries where you don't have language because it teaches you to communicate through your heart in a different way and to find communication through much deeper ways than we use through speech. And to connect much more deeply. And when I sit there and sometimes I just feel overwhelmed with being blessed to be of service and to see the transformation that can take place with some of the children. It's really astonishing.
Oh, and what amazing service you're giving to the whole world, to these incredible children, you know. What a gift for you to come into their lives.
And what a gift for them to come into mine. You know, I really, truly believe that I share what I know and they teach me. Because right. It's such a humbling, you know, it's so humbling to be in the presence of these magnificent beings that, and these magnificent parents as well, you know, that actually I bow before you, you know,
yeah.
Actually, I give you what I know, I share what I know.
Wow. And, you know, what a gift to the world. And thank goodness you do know as much as you do, you know, and that your journey has been what it is because, you are, as I said, a remarkable, remarkable teacher, Joe, and these places just must be benefiting, you know, in ways you can't even begin to imagine. To think that those children are now not tied up, it just makes me feel so happy, you know, think, oh, goodness, you know, go and do your magic everywhere. You know, people need you, and so it's fantastic. So you've got a teacher training.
Well, we run teacher training programs, yeah, at the centre, and wherever I go, I run teacher training programs as well. So
okay, so good. So after the break, we'll talk a bit more about your programs and where people can find more about your wonderful foundation.
Thank you.
Bringing a more conscious lifestyle to your world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Eros Evolution is where sexuality and spirituality meets. Join me, clinical sexologist Martha Tara Lee, on Eros Evolution on Thursdays, 4 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio.
Memoirs of the Bright Side of the Moon. A true story of love beckons you to remember the bright side. You will enter and discover another side of the Pink Floyd and share the return journey of an artist born to help humanity through creating beauty. Written by Ginger Gilmore. Available at angelscript.com today. Simone Millicis would like you to know that business can be fun, which is why she wrote the book Joy of Business. What if you could have the joy of business rather than the stress and struggle? Most of the time, the only thing stopping you from a thriving business is you. In the Joy of Business book, Simone gives you access consciousness tools and pragmatic ways to get out of your own way and to create the business, life, and living you know is possible and beyond what this reality says is achievable. Business is joy. It's creation. It's generative. It can be the adventure of living. You can purchase your copy of the book through Amazon or Joy of Business website, www.accessjoyofbusiness.com.
What if living didn't have to be so serious?
What if you could move beyond your problems with greater confidence and ease than you've ever imagined?
Throw your labels out the window and join the Irreverent Therapist for practical tips and a very different way of approaching the changes you would like to create.
Marilyn Bradford
and Pam Hodling
have empowered hundreds of people to come out of self-judgment, quit looking to experts, and begin to create the lives they desire.
Join us Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern on the Irreverent Therapist Show.
The best of the holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
So, welcome back. And before the break, Joe, you were telling us all about the your special yoga, the charity. In fact, you started in 2004 to give nurturing an inclusive home to families of children with special needs everywhere, didn't you?
Yep, absolutely.
So what an incredible thing to start. And how's that developed and grown over the years?
Well, it's developed and grown because I think there's more awareness and of yoga as a healing therapeutic tool. And there's more awareness because mindfulness is now, you know, more accepted in the world.
Yeah.
And, you know, deemed more useful for all sorts of different conditions, from anxiety to fear to whatever. And I think that, you know, just the work itself speaks for itself, you know, and I think the word of mouth and, you know, we worked hard to promote the work and to have it reach as many families as possible, really.
Yeah.
So I run training courses in the UK. People come from all over the world and then they say, oh, will you come, you know, to Israel, and will you come to Greece, and will you come to Russia, and will you come to Australia, and
which is fantastic.
I go, yes, to everything. And then I look at my schedule and go, oh,
yes, to too many things.
Yeah,
but that's fantastic, because clearly this you know, this form of healing, this wonderful form of connection with parents and children who are suffering in their worlds, have locked in their with their special needs that people can't reach. It's so beneficial to have this. I love the idea of the different forms of touch, and that it can go beyond the barriers of language, as you say, that, you know, you can reach souls that have been, you know, trapped in very, very difficult circumstances all around the world. So I love it that it's now being able to help train people on so many levels that can go off to different locations.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, it's the way forward. So we run training programs out of the UK, out of London. And actually, I'm running one in the north of England as well for the first time in April. And then I think I've got one in Russia, one in Peru, one in Spain. I can't remember where else off the top of my head, but most of them are on our website anyway. And we run programs in autism, and then we're looking at, you know, at the moment developing short programs to support parents of children on the autistic spectrum, which the National Autistic Society little group seem to want, and other organizations seem to be calling us in for. And I'm also teaching in Ireland, actually, quite a lot. And I'm off to India, as I said earlier, in a few days. So there's a lot going on, and there's lots of possibilities, and we're looking, you know, always looking to build, you know, in order to reach more children, we need to train up more people to deliver the work. So we're setting up a, you know, we're in the process of also setting up a program of how we accredit our, you know, our practitioners so that they can be helped and guided along the path to provide the highest quality service to the children as well.
Fantastic.
And feel supported, and look to see, you know, how we do webinars. You know, all this modern technology, which I don't really understand, like, about Skype, and, you know. I mean, they know me at the centre. It's like, help! I can't talk to my computer today.
Luckily, there's always people around that can help with technology. Yeah. Whereas people like you that can actually help talk to my child with special needs is a different gift entirely. So you can get techno help.
Yeah. So so we're you know. That's where we are, really. And
brilliant. So if people want to get in touch with you, how can they find you?
Special Yoga, www.specialyoga.org.uk.
Fantastic.
Is our website. We'll have a new website going live, I think, in about 2 or 3 hours. If not, it'll go live tomorrow.
Oh, wow.
There is a website there anyway at the moment, but my chair of trustees is making another one go. He's been working very hard on putting a new one together.
Oh,
they'll have more information and more, you know, more accessibility, which will go live in the next few days. Yeah.
Fantastic. So that people can go there and find different
courses. The website that exists already has our training courses and some information anyway. It's just the new one will be even better.
Yeah, fantastic. And because I think it must be hard for people with children with special needs to feel sort of isolated, and this must be a great comfort to them to be able to become part of your whole family of understanding.
I think it's very hard as a parent. You are very isolated. You know, in special needs schools, your children are taken to school by bus, so you don't have the privilege of a playground where you mix with other parents. And there's also all the fear and the grief that comes along with having a child with special needs, because it's a child you didn't expect to have. You know, so, and we very much work around finding the light and the amazing qualities of your child. So I meet the child rather than the disability.
Right.
Which I think is a very important piece of it. I mean, obviously we recognize that there's a disability, but you know what? We all have special needs. And in many ways, I think I've got more special needs than all these children put together. You know? So I don't see myself as different. So I'm really, you know, it's really for me about meeting the child and teaching my practitioners to meet the child and not get caught up with the condition and not get caught up with the anxiety and not get caught up with fear and just meet the child, the magnificent being that they are.
Yeah.
And they are all magnificent beings.
That must be so refreshing, I think, for the parents and for the children to be seen as the soul, you know, and the beauty of that.
Absolutely. And I tell you, they're just extraordinary, these children. I mean, they blow me away. They're just extraordinary. Sometimes I can't put words to how magnificent, you know, they are. Just, it's amazing. It's amazing.
Well, isn't that fantastic? I mean, that it's so fulfilling by actually giving yourself to help, you know. And that's what I'm saying, is you're an incredible, incredible inspiration, Joe. So you really are, because as you say, the greatest gift we have is your time. And if you can give your time to help in situations like that, and you can meet these souls that just light up when they see you. I mean, I've actually seen children working with you, and they just light up when they see you, because you know, you are the answer to their prayers, I think.
I'm sure they're the answer to mine too.
Well, I think you're probably the answer to a lot of the parents' prayers as well. I think there's, you know, you give this wonderful support system, and you can give a support network then that can facilitate the healing for everybody involved, because there's probably a lot of self-blame that goes in there as well, I would have thought.
Nothing more rewarding as a parent of a challenged child to know that somebody sees the magnificence in your child rather than all the negatives.
Yeah, exactly. Because I think that must be so refreshing when they've been judged and labelled by the outside world. And to see you, just see the shining light that they are. And that's just fantastic.
Yeah.
So it's amazing that yoga can actually reach these children in such an incredible way. So as you say, it really demonstrates the whole mind-body-spirit connection to able-bodied people, who, you know, the benefits that it would be for, instead of just thinking it might just be a form of exercise, but to realise the therapeutic qualities that it holds for everybody.
Well, it does. I mean, if you use yoga therapeutically, it is. I mean, I imagine there are people that go to the gym and do yoga as an exercise. I don't know. But, you know, for me, it's a therapeutic, you know, it's a therapeutic tool that we can all access. And it depends how you practice, really.
Yeah.
And where your mind is. Because ultimately, yoga is a science of the mind, you know. So it, you know, it teaches us to use our minds well, if you use it well.
Yeah, exactly. But I think you're right. This whole mindfulness is even a term that's only recently come to light. And it's about a compassionate, considerate way of presenting, turning up in life, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, and bringing that mindfulness to however, whatever you do, whether it's your interaction with any human being that you meet, or your own journey with yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's about how you pay attention.
Yeah, it is.
Absolutely.
So, you know, turn up, be present. and do the best you can, like everybody else is.
And be compassionate with yourself, because we're only ever doing the best we can. And sometimes we don't, you know, we judge ourselves too, you know.
Yeah, I think a lot of, you're right. The main thing you have to do is start by just forgiving yourself for everything, all the failings you think you've had, all the wrong judgments you think you've made, all the bad turns you think you've taken. None of them are like that. They're all parts of who you are, and they're all parts of the journey that's brought you to where you are right now. You know, and you're never on the wrong journey. It's your path, whatever it is. It's right for you. So all parts of it are right. As you say, you just have to be able to sort of extract yourself from the ego personal story of it and see the greater picture of the lessons that you've been learning along the way. And that's, I think, what meditation can help you do, detach from your story.
Absolutely. And you are magnificent.
And you are. And exactly. And every one of you out there, every one of you listeners, are magnificent.
Yeah, and you know, my blessing to everybody is, you know, may you shine your light.
Absolutely, shine bright. And we say in the show, you know, stay golden. So it's about seeing and appreciating that every single cell in your body is golden. See that you are golden from your core.
Absolutely.
You know, so you draw it into you, and you send it out from you. So you know, shine bright like a diamond.
Hey.
And stay golden. So
oh, beautiful.
So thank you very much, Jo, for being my wonderful guest this week.
Oh, thank you so much for inviting me. It's been a real privilege.
Oh, it's been such a pleasure having you on. And I hope if anybody would like to find out more information, they can find you on your website. And we look forward to seeing your new website come and hearing more about your achievements in the future. So we'd like to wish you best of luck with everything.
Oh, thank you so much.
It's a pleasure.
That's great. How lovely. What a lovely start to my evening.
Thank you very much. So
thank you.
Have a lovely day, everybody, and see you next week. Thank you very much for listening. And if you'd like to hear any more of my guidance, you can find it on my website, which is www.clairejohnson.eu. Thank you very much. Stay golden. Namaste, Didis.
So Claire, are you there?
We're still on air, darling, until we go off. Yes, we are.
So will you send me the link to this?
Of course, darling.